Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, every day we make choices. Most of them are fairly insignificant and inconsequential. Like, you know, do I take an umbrella to uni today? Some of them can be a bit more significant. Do I go out with friends tonight, or do I get that assignment done tonight? And then some choices are even more serious than that. Which uni course do I take? Do I move to go away to uni? Maybe I don't even go to uni. Do I take on a trade? Do I step into retail? Do I start up a business at a young age? Do I ask that girl out? If he asks me out, do I say yes? In the course of just 1 year, we make thousands of choices. And every choice is a chance to make a good choice or a bad choice. And you add to that, bad choices can have devastating consequences. So, what does it take to make good choices? Simple. It takes wisdom. Now, here's the thing about wisdom. You may not have ever been able to finish school. And yet you can be the wisest person in the room. You can have an ATAR of 99.9 and be the dumbest person in the room. Proverbs is the book that we're looking at this term. And Proverbs is God's book on wisdom. If you want to grow in wisdom, I hope you do, Proverbs is the place to go. Proverbs is God's book on wisdom. And today, we're just going to look at a few verses from Proverbs chapter 1. And here's what we're going to see today. What wisdom is, why wisdom is important, and where we can find wisdom. That's where we're headed. Let's dig in. First of all, what wisdom is. You got your Bible open, Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To understand words of insight. One of the ways we can learn what wisdom is to see the words that God puts alongside wisdom. Note how verse 2 puts instruction alongside wisdom. A synonym for wisdom is instruction. And instruction carries the idea of correction. And so to be a wise person, we need to have the sort of character that we're open to somebody correcting us. We need to be humble. We need to be open to instruction, to correction. Now, note also from verse 2, a synonym for wisdom is insight. Insight literally means to notice differences, to see nuances. Cordelia Cupp is the brilliant detective from the Netflix series, The Residence. I don't know if you've seen it. I watched it months ago. Cordelia walks into a room and she has insight. She sees 50 things straight away, where you and I would only see 5 or 6. Cordelia has insight. Now the thing about insight, it's not just about seeing what's in a room. It's also about seeing or imagining what could be. If you've ever done a brainstorming session, you get this. You're brainstorming what could be. And if you've done brainstorming with people, have you noticed how when there's a problem, some people can only ever find one solution, where others can find like 10. They have insight. They can imagine what could be. And so as we consider what wisdom is, so far we have instruction, that ability to be able to receive correction, which takes some character, some humility, and insight. And then notice the word prudence in verse 4. To give prudence to the simple. I love that word prudence. I think it's just the way it sounds. Prudence. Now we don't tend to use that word today. Prudence is wisdom in practical things. Today we use the word strategic. Someone who's strategic, they know how to practically get things done. Okay, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is a mixture of being able to receive correction, being able to discern more than one solution, and being strategic. Instruction, insight, and prudence. Yeah? All right, I knew this was going to happen, so let's just get the distraction out of the way. I said to the row I was sitting on, I bet you the thunder doesn't start until I get up to preach. All right? No matter how loud it gets, I'm just going to go louder, all right? Concentrate. This, Proverbs, it's excellent. And so here's this mixture, what we're seeing of what wisdom is, instruction, insight, prudence. Gerhard von Rad, before he died, he sort of surveyed the Old Testament and did a deep dive into what biblical wisdom is, and he's come up with the best definition that I've ever come across. Wisdom is being competent with regard to the realities of life. Wisdom is being competent with regard to the realities of life, being competent with the reality of life. Not what I want life to be, but with the reality of how life really works. Therefore, two things to know about wisdom. Firstly, wisdom is more than knowledge. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put tomatoes in fruit salad. I thought I'd get more of a laugh. My son gave me that one. There you go, bit of wisdom. All right, you see, we can be really, really knowledgeable about a subject and be stupid. Wisdom is knowing what to do with that knowledge, how to practically use the knowledge. Wisdom requires knowledge, but wisdom is more than knowledge. The second thing, wisdom is more than following God's rules. Now, that almost sounds like I'm a heretic at this point, so let me explain that one. Who made the world? All right, that was quick, and that was good, and that was right. Now, is God good? Yeah, like, is he perfectly good, eternally good, always good? Yes, yes, yes. So God made the world, and he is really, really good, and the Bible just always assumes that. Therefore, the Bible always assumes that when we make choices, we will want to make good choices because God made a world that is good and perfect, and we want to listen to him. So when it comes to wisdom, the Bible assumes God's rules. Let me put it negatively. The Bible tells us that if we disobey God, we are stupid. I've used that word a couple of times tonight, haven't I? But it's in God's word. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. So whoever loves correction loves knowledge. They love a good thing. But he who hates reproof is stupid. Biblical wisdom assumes we follow God's rules. That's why I'm saying biblical wisdom is more than following God's rules. And so let's bring these two subpoints together. Biblical wisdom includes knowledge, but it's more than knowledge. And biblical wisdom assumes we obey God's rules. And here we reach the point where all Christians come unstuck. You see, 80% of the choices we make are choices that do not involve right and wrong. If anything, the right and wrong choices, they're the easy ones. We often have to choose between multiple good choices. Think about a career, multiple good choices. Think about who to marry, multiple good choices. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. God's one of the places God talks about marriage. God actually says it is excellent. The choice of being single is excellent. God also says in the same chapter, the choice to marry is a good choice. And so we're hearing God talk about serious choices and saying singleness and marriage, good options. Two godly choices, either of which carry consequences. Which brings us to our second point, why wisdom is important. Most of our choices are choices between godly options. At the same time, experience teaches us that some choices can result in misery. So I want you to jump now near the end of chapter 1, down to verse 32. Proverbs 1, verse 32. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Do you see what God's telling us? Turning away from wisdom will destroy us, will kill us. This almost happened to me when I was 18. I'm on my P's, got my best mate in the car, we're driving down a curvy mountain, and I decided to show him how fast I could drive. Screeching tires around every corner, hooning down the mountain. And as we come down to the last corner or on the home stretch, of course, I've got to speed it up a bit, don't I? And lost control. And the car did a complete 180 on the road and came to a stop. And if I meant that, I would have been so cool. It was only the providence of God that stopped the car heading off the road and me killing my mate or myself or something else. Turning away from wisdom will kill you. Why is that? Why is the world like that? Well, let's look at the two type of people that are mentioned in verse 32. Do you see what the two types of people in verse 32 are called? The simple and the fool. The simple and the fool. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and simple usually means in the Old Testament the young, you lot. Don't you love that? Here's the thing about being young. We care too much about what our friends think. Nobody wants to be uncool at school. Simple people care too much about what other people think. And so simple is often used in Proverbs, but the word that's most often used for the opposite of the wise is the fool. The fool is the person who is wise in their own eyes. Today, the way we get our information is turning us into fools. Our news feeds, our social media feeds, our YouTube reels that are coming through, they're all driven by algorithms that feed us what we like, because what we like keeps us on our screen. And so they keep giving us what we like, which means we're remaining wise in our own eyes. We're not getting contrary opinions and contrary other takes and learning how to argue and debate with one another. We're in echo chambers now. We're just growing wise in our own eyes. Now, a fool throughout Proverbs is described as someone who's self-righteous, opinionated, stubborn, hard to persuade, gets annoyed, gets angry when corrected. All right, let's recall our definition of wisdom. Wisdom is being competent with regard to how the reality of life. Wisdom is being in touch with reality. The simple person is in touch with their mate's reality. The fool is in touch with their own reality. Neither is in touch with real reality. Neither is in touch with how the world really works. So in summary, why is wisdom important? Because turning away from wisdom will kill you. We need to be competent with how life really works. Not with what our mates, simple mates tell us, nor what our foolish echo chambers tell us. So, where can we find wisdom? Our third point, where can we find wisdom? And fortunately, simple, so simple. Look at verse 7 again. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That phrase is used often throughout the Bible. Either the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, 15:33, Job 28:28, Deuteronomy 4:6, Psalm 111:10, Ecclesiastes 12:13. I will question you before I let you out of the room for all those references. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But what does it mean to fear the Lord? Because after all, if you've been reading your Bible for a while, you might know 1 John 4 verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. The best way to understand Proverbs 1:7 alongside 1 John 4:18 is to realize there is a positive fear and a negative fear. The reason why we fear conflict is because we are often scared that the other person might hurt us. Yeah, maybe the hurt is as simple as, I'm really comfortable right now, I just don't want to get into it with you. Or they might hurt our reputation, that they might show that we're a bit of a fool on whatever we're arguing about. Or physically, they might hurt us. That's a negative fear because it's focused on self-protection. That's what I want you to see first. But there's also a positive fear. When we have a huge amount of respect and honor for someone, we fear saying something that would dishonor them. So it's not a fear that's focused on self and self-protection. It's now a fear that is not wanting to dishonor or disrespect the other person. And when we take positive fear, and think about God, we quickly realize there is no one more worthy of glory and honor and praise and blessing. Right now, there are millions of angels worshiping God. Can you picture it? Try. Just for a sec, think about the glory of God. Worthy. Holy. Perfect. Kind. Gracious. Merciful. Brother, sister, wisdom begins by lifting our eyes and seeing his worthiness, his hallowedness, his glory, his splendor, seeing the blazing light of God. And here we come to the great paradox of the fear of the Lord. For the closer we get to the worthiness of God, the more we see our unworthiness. And yet at the same time, the more we long to be embraced by the love of God. Can you feel that tension? God is the white hot center of all that is good and beautiful, and we dishonor his goodness and beauty. The more we come to taste and see God's goodness, the more we come to taste and see our sin. And that is reality. Reality is the holiness of God and our sinfulness in his presence. Now, do you remember our definition of wisdom? Wisdom is being competent with regard to the realities of life. Competent with how life really works. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that would be terrifying if it were not for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. I wish we had all year just to look at this verse. For the word of the cross is folly. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, if we did have all year, I'd have a lot more time to tell you this bit. Why is the cross here called foolishness to those who are perishing? Why is that? It's because the cross is where Jesus Christ is made king. And we're talking King of Kings. We're talking all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. He's king. Like, Jesus is either king of everything or he's king of nothing. And he became king at the cross. So why is the cross foolishness to those who don't know Jesus? Because in what other worldview does the king lay his life down for his enemies? Before what other king, before what other God do we come and say, you are worthy, I am unworthy, and he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me empty and broken, and I'll fill you and fix you. So you see, the fear of the Lord, paradoxically, it draws us to God, but if we only have the fear of the Lord, we come up against him, and we see his worthiness and our unworthiness, but we keep being drawn to him, we see his power and his beauty, but at the same time, we're repelled because of our own unworthiness. But the cross fully draws us to God, because the cross has the power to melt all our fear. The cross melts our fear because God loves. And hear this. This is important you hear this. God loves to forgive anyone who comes to him through his son's death on the cross. God loves to lavish us with love. God tells us, he reassures us, God promises that we no longer need to worry about dishonoring God. Jesus paid it all. As far as the east is from the west, God removes our sin from us. God forgets our sin in Jesus Christ. God loves us with a love that is bigger than we can imagine. And so step in. Embrace the lavish riches of God's love for you in Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning that draws us to the cross of Jesus Christ, where we find forgiveness and love and acceptance. And when you know you have been accepted by your heavenly Father, when you know he loves you, when you know you have eternity secured with him, you're set free to make choices. Knowing that even your dumb choices, even my stupid choices, even our painful choices, cannot separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. I'll finish on this. Us Christians tend to get hung up on the little choices. What career should I take? Who should I marry? I'm such a romantic, aren't I? We tend to get hung up on the little choices. And we get so worked up, we start looking for techniques to discover God's will. And then we trick ourselves into thinking we've discovered God's will. Now, we do want to be soft toward God. Never make a decision without praying to your Heavenly Father. But God is crystal clear. He says it over and over and over and over again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, once we taste and see how good God is, how gracious God is, how loving God is, how far God went to save us, it makes us tremble with this joyful fear to keep coming back to Him. That there's now a freedom to make choices, knowing that our heart and mind is being shaped to become more and more like Him. And so there's the toughest thing about wisdom we need to hear. We all need to keep growing in wisdom. We're going to make lots of mistakes and lots of wrong choices, and God uses that to grow us in wisdom. It takes years to become competent with how life really works. But over time, the Christian becomes discerning, insightful, and prudent and wise. Eventually, we learn to say, I'm doing such and such because I've sought the scriptures, I've sought the counsel of other Christians, I have prayed, and I have decided to do X, Y, Z. And here's the thing. It might just be the wrong choice. And that's okay. That's how God's going to grow you in wisdom for the next time. We fail forward with our Heavenly Father. It's actually part of growing in wisdom. But if you tell people, I prayed really hard, I put on my prayer shawl, I went up to that prayer mountain, I did my special prayer walk, I fasted, I did all of this, and I discerned God told me to. Well, what happens when you make the wrong choice? You just threw God under the bus. Brother, sister, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And learning to walk with our Heavenly Father who loves us even in our dumb choices is one of the greatest freedoms you will ever know. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to pray, but first, where's Zach? Is there any questions come through? There's a couple of questions, so I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, and then we're going to do Q&A. Oh, Lord, how extraordinary, how amazing, how wonderful that we get to call you the maker of heaven and earth, the sender of thunder and rain, Father. We thank you, we praise you. Would you keep reminding us, please, that you're a good Father. You're a wonderful Father. We want to grow in wisdom. Every day we're making choices. We want to come before you and make them. We thank you for church family and that can help us make choices. Father, help us do everything we can to make wise choices. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.